Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshipped. And I love him. You know, entering into God's presence is a blessing. And it's sad to say many Christians don't realize what it's like. You can go in his presence at your will. In the early days when I first got saved, I happened to go to a church where worship was very strong. And, you know, Elder Lewis was in the worship. And Greg Hosey, he used to do a lot of the singing at church. He was in the worship. Another guy, Jerry Frazier, he was a musician, a very talented musician, and he got into worship. Well, I just love God. I used to be in a band, you know, R&B. We played R&B before I got saved. And then when I got saved, I eventually got out of the band. And it was a good band, too. We played some good music. But I learned about worship. And Greg Hosey was a prayer warrior. He would work and go home, and he would pray for hours. And he was a blessing. He would usher you, and he was one of the best singers I ever heard. But he could sing, but he would go into God's presence. And he were ushering the church into God's presence. And I thank God for him. He's pastoring the church it's out of town. I have to remember the name it'll come to me. But he's pastoring the church there. But anyway, he was one of the best worship leaders. And when I would go into the Lord's presence in the prayer room or at home, I said, Lord, when I'm in your presence, I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I can't fail. And I feel like I can do, you know, I don't feel weak anymore. I feel strong. I said, now, I want to be like this all the time. And I talked about this before earlier broadcast, but Lord brought it back. I want to live in your presence. That's what I want. And in a way we do by peace. But I want to feel strong like I do in the prayer room. And I told Elder Lewis what I was asking the Lord for, and he said, well, you got to come off the mountain. You can't live on the mountaintop. And when he said that, I said, no, there's a way to do this. I just don't know what it is, and he don't know what it is. But you cannot learn the greater things of God if you settle for less. And that is the point I'm trying to make. And I'm using worship for an example. And I just remember the city where Greg Hosey is a pastor. It's in Warrior. But anyway, he's a blessing. And I heard he cut an album. I'm going to try to do some kind of broadcast with him. But anyway, the thing is, when you endeavor to learn something you don't know, you open the door to learning. And I didn't, but now Elder Lewis didn't know it, but I didn't give up. I said, I'm going to find out how to do this. And I kept after the Lord about it. I said, Lord, I want to live like I do in your presence in the prayer room and at home when I'm worshiping you. I want to know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. So the first thing, I just kept worshiping God. A lot of things happen that help me do. It's just not one thing you do. But the point I'm trying to make is when you seek God for something that you don't know, you're on the right track to learn whatever it is you do desire to know. And just like Daniel, you have to stick with it. Now, Daniel stuck with it. It only took him 21 days, 3 weeks. But what I'm about to tell you took me a couple of decades to learn. Overall. This was about 1984 when I began to ask the Lord about that. I went to Refuge Temple in November 83, and somewhere between 84 and 85 is when I asked the Lord to teach me how to enter His presence and live there, stay there. Wherever I go, I feel like I do in that prayer room. I feel strong and invincible. Because when you're in His presence, you feel strong and invincible. There's nothing that can get to you. So the Lord worked with me. The first thing I learned after that, beside worshiping God, was to walk in love. When the Lord healed my love walk, and that's the best way I know to put it. You heard my testimony if you listened to earlier broadcast that at my weakest moment, I was about to get in a fight. And I was going to let some words fly too. I was going to cuss the guy out and fight him. I had really literally gotten to my weakest point. And I hadn't done anything like that since I've been saved. But I was so angry, that's what I was going to do. And before I uttered a word, the Lord said, "Everlasting love. To love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil." And then I learned about unconditional love. That's what I saw. Everlasting love. A love that won't change when people do. A love that's willing to love the unlovable. And I saw it in one moment, and I was strengthened. And I said, it surprised everybody, because people gathered around. They saw the fight about to happen. You know, they saw it heating up, and they gathered around like they do at work. Because we were at work, we would have both got fired. And at my weakest moment, that's when the Lord said, "Everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil." And the concept was there. The strength was there to do it. So I prayed. I said, "You know what? I'm going to go get us a drink, and we're going to talk about it." And I went and bought him a grape or cold or whatever I bought. And we talked about it. And it surprised me. It surprised him. It surprised everybody that was on looking. But it changed me. I said, later on that day, I said, "Lord, you did something today that's just remarkable to me. And I want you to teach me how I can do this. I want you to teach me how to love your people." And this was in 1987. That's the year I worked at the Ford dealership. I took a job for about 2 months, 2 or 3 months. It was during that time. And then the Lord, He blessed me He started teaching me things about love. How to love other people. How to hear them out when they're weak. All kind of concepts. He taught me things about, as I endeavored to love others, He taught me many concepts about love. And then I had to learn about the warfare, because you're going to have to learn how to fight. And I knew that we had authority over Satan. A man named Chris Lucas taught me that. We worked together at Food Giant. And he taught me, he was the first one to teach me about authority over Satan. And then I went back and read the scriptures about it. But I learned even more later on. And I've talked about that in other broadcasts. I listened to the authority of the believer, which you can still receive from rhema.org. And I heard what I heard Kenneth Hagin's teachings on authority. And it took my fight to another level. All these things worked together to keep me in the strength that I enjoyed in God's presence. So I learned how to love, and I learned how to do spiritual warfare. I learned, and he taught me how to overcome all forms of temptation. See, when you overcome temptation, you can walk freely. You can be free. All right, in freedom, when your heart is free and nothing's aggravating you, you can grow stronger and stronger and stronger in the Word of God. The backbone of the strength that I was after was the knowledge of the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing the principles of God, understanding Him and what He's doing. All those things work together to give me strength. In worship, I'm in the presence of the Word of God, but the Word of God wasn't in me yet. As I received the Word of God, and it was planted in my heart firmly, and it wasn't, He taught me how to manage the Word. He taught me all kind of principles about how to receive the Word and keep the Word in your heart. He even taught me to, when I study, when He give me a message to preach, I would be so excited because I heard something from the Lord. And He gave me a message, which I would always learn from. Then when I preached the message, the word that I had is gone. It's left me. And it went to where God sent it. But He told me to go back after every message and study the notes and put the same word back in my heart so I can have it. So I learned that principle. And anytime you're aggravated in life and you're using the word to overcome something, after you win, go back and fill your heart with the same word so that you can be established in that word. And many times people don't know to do these things. These are the principles I learned that work together to keep me alive and in the presence of God wherever I am. He taught me to keep my heart full of His Word. He taught me how to manage the Word. If I had the Word in my heart and somebody tempted me or something happened or somebody challenged me, whatever it was, I'd go back and find those scriptures and strengthen my heart in that area some more. I learned to do those kind of things. But a lot of people don't know these tactics, these holy tactics. And it works. It keeps you fresh and sharp and rugged. And you have a mind to fight. Now, people don't fight beyond their conviction, but the Word of God gives you strong conviction, great conviction in a multiplied way. Gives you strength and backbone. And then when I worship God, that's why I say faith is the foundation of worship. It keeps you in faith, and if you're in faith, your worship is sincere. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. And Jesus is looking for people to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what God is seeking. People who love Him from the roots up. All these things work together, and they work, and I've learned a lot more. And I'm still learning principles. And in the prayer room, I felt strong, but wherever I go today, I sincerely feel strong. And I can sense the works of the enemy, and I stop it. I stop his works in my life. I can see him aggravating people. Then he taught me all kind of principles about peace. He gave me this song about the rest. And he taught me about how we don't have to let Satan tamper with the rest. And then peace is a decision. Peace is fellowship with God. I asked him, I said, Lord, what's your definition of peace? That was a season he gave me all kind of definitions. You know, the Greek and the Hebrew and Syriac and Aramaic, you know, those definitions are good. But when you ask the Holy Spirit what his definition is, he makes it so plain, it's better than all of that. I asked him his definition of trust. He said reliance. Or faith. Faith is the definer, the highest form of sincerity. See, faith is a verb. It does something. Trust is a noun. It's a state of being. And to get there, see, you have to trust God after you enjoy the fruits of faith. You have to choose to stay in trust. Trust is active, but it's reliance. It does something. But it's a state of being. It didn't say that man shall live by his trust. It said man shall live by his faith. And he'll secure his faith in his trust. Trust prepares you to have faith the next time you need to do something. It helps you to stay in faith. It's the other side of faith. Now, all these principles work together to keep me pure. See, you can't have worship without being pure. And the strength of worship is the word. So, back in 1990, after he taught me how to manage the word, he taught me to receive the word. He said, I want you to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. So I actively did that. I did it my way, but I did it. You know, man always do something wrong. I did 5 in the morning, and that was probably 2% of the time I read 5 in the middle of the day. But I would do 10 at night, and I would not go to sleep until I read those 10 chapters. And most of the time, I would walk around in the living room standing up because I was too tired to read. But I finished, and then I would go straight to sleep. But after reading 15 chapters a day and receiving the word and hearing the word, I was still listening to the broadcast of the 5 ministers that came on, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, Frank Matchin, and others. They would come on and I would listen to them. Scott Webb was one of them. I listened to them on the Christian radio station. I would listen to them every day, not JLD, but the other station. I listened to them back when they had preaching on the radio. And when I would study the word, I was hearing the word, and they were some of the thoughts that God gave me, he gave them. And sometimes that message was a confirmation to mine. And I thank God for every time it happened. And as I grew in the Lord and in his word, I was worshiping God one day. And Jesus started talking to me. Now with the word, he had talked to me before in worship. But I would always fall out. And I couldn't compose myself to ask him my questions. Now watch this. This is very important. After I received the word of God gave me a strong measure of strength. And so when he started talking after I had been in the word like that, I had enough strength to compose myself and ask him some questions. Now I'm in his presence. I could feel his presence, and I knew he was there. And the things he said to me, I said, Jesus. After he finished talking, I said, and I received what he said, I said, Jesus, don't go nowhere. Don't leave. I got some questions I want to ask you. So I asked him my questions. And the question I asked him may sound silly to you, but it was important to me. And he answered me in a way I could understand. And then I asked him some more questions. And he answered those. And I asked him some more questions, and he answered those too. And I said, this is good. I said, I don't want this to stop. So I asked him some more questions, and he answered those. So this is great. And then I finally went to bed. I woke up in the morning. I worshiped God, prayed in tongues a while. And I started asking him some questions again. And he started answering. I said, he didn't go nowhere. I said, this is good. And I said, Lord, I don't ever want to go back to how it was. I want you to always be able to talk to me. Now, when I first asked the Lord to teach me how to live in his presence, that wasn't part of the deal. I didn't even have the concept of dialoguing with the Lord like that. But, you know, the word said that Moses talked to the Lord face to face. And now I'm talking to the Lord face to face. And I didn't want it to stop. So I put forth a greater effort to do the right thing. I put forth a greater effort to do the things that he was telling me to do. I put forth a greater effort in everything. I drew near to the Lord and I told people some of the things that he would teach me and tell me. And as all this happened, and in the dialogue, in dialoguing with the Lord, he taught me things. He taught me many things about ministry. He taught me many things about life. He taught me many things, even about health. He taught me how to destroy temptation, all kind of files of knowledge. And he started teaching me about the church. He gave me much information about my assignment. And he started giving me assignments. And in 92, he started sending me to churches. I didn't understand the things he was doing. Now, he would send me to the churches with a word. And I talked about that before, too. And he started using me in greater ways. In 92, he called me to be an apostle. I said, man, my life is already complicated. Now I got to do something that people going to reject. And I knew what I was in for. But I said, well, I'm going to do it. But anyway, the thing of it is, we grow from glory to glory. And we change. We develop. In sincerity, we grow in sincerity and in truth. And I thank the Lord for it. God is moving mightily by his Spirit, and he's doing things in us. Our capabilities are very strong, and he loves us, and he cares about every soul, everybody. And I thank God for all that he's doing. So learning how to operate in God's presence, it turned out to be a blessing. Now, remember, as I'm growing, not only do I feel strong wherever I go, but I'm ready to share the word with people. The Lord will give me things that people needed. Sometimes people activate my anointing out in the work field or wherever I'm at, just like he would at church. And I was able to minister to people. I was able to do what I could not do before, because I felt strong like I did in that prayer room back in 1984 and 5. Now, all the things that I'm saying is certain. And it's and I'm doing things that God has given me to do because of a prayer in the prayer room. I endeavor to learn something. And this was something that the Lord just couldn't say, you do this, do that. As I endeavored, I learned what I was after. See, some things of God, he can tell you some things and you'll know it. You'll know it's true. You'll understand it. You'll see it for what it is. But as he give you pieces over time, it will answer some of your questions. I didn't give up on what the Lord had given me to do. I didn't give up on my prayer. And I began to realize this is not something he can just answer with a sentence. And possibly he could, but would I be able to receive it? Now, what I'm telling you, it took me from 1985 to now to learn these things. And some of the principles I'm sharing, these are the things that I learned over a course. And I learned many other things as well. One of the big ones was learning to manage the word that I received. And if you can do these things, you can do the same thing. I feel like there's a party going on inside all the time. But when on the outside, turmoil is happening and I can see it. Now, with that, I used to listen to Kenneth Hagin. Sometimes you need the logic of other people, the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given to others. Charles Capps taught me how to speak the word in faith. His assignment was to teach people to confess the word. Kenneth Hagin introduced people to faith and many principles. See, he wasn't just a teacher, he was also a prophet. And I believe that Charles Capps was a prophet also. I'm not sure, but I think so. But learning to confess the word was a big part. Because that's how I learned to adjust my will by what I say. You can adjust your will in the word of God, and you don't have to be unhappy in life. You can do the things that's important. You can speak the word of God at your will. What you speak counts. Charles Capps used to always say, it's not going to happen just because you say it, but saying it is involved with working it. And I learned to work the word of God. And I would speak to my feelings. I would speak to my character. I would say, I love God. I love his ways, his word. I used to confess it, pray it, and praise God, saying, I love your will, your people, your word. And I made little songs I was singing, and just broke yokes with it. Now, I remember the radio station now. My mind was on the other things, but it was WDJC is the station they used to come on. Now they play only music during the day. And they got another station that plays teaching. But back then, the radio station was much better. And a lot of people that don't go to church got the word. And people started learning to have faith in God. Another radio station came about that played music all day. And then they went and played music all day. They backslid. But we need that radio. We need the word, just like we need music. But they went backwards when all those faith teachers came on there, and they were teaching, and they were ministering the word, and people were growing strong. I remember those days. I can tell you about the gunfights that when they happened, after I learned about authority, I would shut them down. I said, Satan, you can't kill nobody, you can't hurt nobody in Jesus' name. It always worked. But God is good, and he's willing to help us do the greater works. But take it to the next level. If you want something from the Lord, no matter how people say it can't happen, seek God about it until it comes to pass in your life. Brother Horton loved to say that your faith will change the facts on the ground where you are. And I changed the facts in my world, in my life, where I am. And now I got a party going on with the Holy Ghost wherever I go. And I like it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move in our lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.